Am I on? Am I on?
Yes.
Hey, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, praise God. Whoa. Wow. Woo. Hallelujah. My goodness, I just want to welcome you to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, we still have some people filtering in, so I'm probably just going to talk to you for a minute, but I just want you to know today is a great day. It's not just a great day because we're symbolically centered here on a Sunday morning, which we consider the Sabbath and a place where we just want to glorify God. But this is a great day. Do you want to know why? You want to know why this is really, truly a great day? Because this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Woo. Now, the reason why I rejoice over the day the Lord has made, not because it's going to be the easiest day of my life, not because I might have difficulty in this life. That's not why I rejoice. I rejoice because no matter what happens in this day, God has already made. You're looking good, Brother Dave. No matter what's happened in this day, God has already made a way for us. No matter what happens in this day, God was with us before the sun came up. He says he doesn't sleep or slumber. His eye has already been on you, and he already knew what this day was going to be filled with. So he already has an answer for every situation you encounter in this day. That's why when I say this is a day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's because not that I think I'm something of myself. I could be nothing if it wasn't with God on me. But when God is on me, I am all that in a bag of chips. Not in my power, but in God's power. And guess what? Every one of you here are the same. If you are here by the Spirit of the Lord who has redeemed you, loved you, and brought you out, then I'm telling you, you are here by the power of God. Good morning, Mr. Matthew. God bless you. How are you today? Amen. We're glad you're here. You're part of the family of faith. Amen. I just want you guys to know how much God loves you and how much God believes in every one of you and how much this is an ordained moment that God has given all of us to reach towards him. Amen. So I just want to step into this time of praise and worship. Slept in. I want to just step into this time of praise and worship and honoring God with your best sacrifice. Well, what does it take to please him? He said just that you would love me. This is an expression of your love for God. This is an expression of your desire to have God be the ruler of your life and help you with every aspect of life. And so I'm telling you that right now, by the Spirit of the Lord and by the empowering water I was given to by Liam, we're going to have a great day today. Amen.
Stay on your feet with us this morning.
Oh,
do. I'm going to need you to turn it up because I can barely talk. So I'm going to need your help this morning. Because you know that I'm the one screaming and hollering up there and praising the Lord and giving him my thanks and praise. I had to lean over to Phil because I tried to yell once and it wouldn't even come out of my mouth. And I said, Phil, you're going to have to yell, come on for me. So what I want you to do this morning is to help be my voice this morning, but be your voice. And on the count of three, just shout one hallelujah or thank you, Jesus, or whatever kind of praise you have within you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we were yet in the deadest place that we were in. He came. Amen? Amen. One, two, three. Hallelujah.
You never stop.
convincing way. Hallelujah, Lord, we lift you up and we exalt you. That is who you are. That is who you are. You are worthy beyond whatever we can say or express out of our beings, Lord God. You are more worthy than that. It is who you are.
Praise the name of the Lord.
We give you glory and honor and praise this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. Do you know how hard it is to be a worshiper and not be able to scream?
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Come on. Say come on. And he's just like, come on. And he won't say it. He's just come on. And he's just worshiping more. And I'm like looking at him.
I got it at the last second there. I gave her a come on. I gave her a hallelujah. Yeah, I did. But at first it was rough. I couldn't relate. What are you asking me? Oh, I see. I got to be your voice.
My voice for Amen. A second. Amen. God is good all the time. Yes, Amen. All the time. He is worthy. So we got some good things going on today. We're excited about it. Remember, we're going to leave here and we're going to go out to the new building out on 292. If you don't know where we're at, just follow somebody. Follow us, follow somebody. You go to 31.
Mm-hmm.
Go out, turn right off of this.
All you have to go out the back
way, go to 31, drive up 31 over the railroad tracks beyond.
And south on 31.
I didn't say north. I said that turn right.
Okay.
Didn't I say turn right?
South on 31.
Thank you. He always makes me think I say the wrong things.
No, I don't.
Because I don't remember what I said 2 minutes ago. And so it's easy for him to do that.
No.
And then when you get out there where it wise, you just take 292 to the right and go out about half a mile. And you'll see as there's two houses, and then us right in front of the ball diamonds.
Amen.
But we're going to go out, and hopefully you've come with names and with scriptures that are on your heart, names of people to be saved, that you're believing God for salvation for their life. We're going to write it. Listen, the foundation of this church has not been built by man. Man has not put this out there. Phil and I love Phil and I, but we're not near what it takes to go out there except Christ in us.
Amen, amen.
And I do believe that.
Amen.
Because of him.
Amen.
Right, but this is all him, and we want to give him everything. And so we want to lift up all of our people that we're believing God for. Any scriptures that are on your heart, we want to write those on the steel beams. We got some Sharpies for you. And so we're going to end service a little quicker today, which is probably, that's why you've seen, we kind of ended the worship service a little early today, because we're just going to get out there earlier today and do all of that. So come out with us. Women that went to the women's shopping day, we had a great time. Thank you very much. Woo-hoo! We're going to do it again. Actually, coming up, as many of you saw, Marie was asking about people, if you like to do painting or crafts. And so we're looking into doing that. So that's not going to be a travel thing. That will be hopefully here or at the new building, depending Amen. On when we do that. So more to come on that. Of course, the women's Christmas party is December 1st. This is like a lot about the women.
Yeah, it's all about the women. Amen. Exactly. Us men need to plan some trips. Hallelujah.
You are welcome to do that. Just don't spend any of my money when you go do that.
What, whose money are you going to be spending?
Mine.
Uh-huh, yeah, like it's all yours.
And we have said what happens in Columbus and in that little 15-passenger van.
Stays in Columbus.
Stays in Columbus ridiculous. In that little 15-passenger van.
Yeah, they're so ridiculous. Mistress. What do I get to stay in my own van? Nothing. I don't get a chance to keep nothing in my van. Everything in my van is exposed 100%.
He was going to try to block us in so we couldn't.
I love it. That would have been beautiful.
That's awesome. Okay, so then the other thing that we have is that we're feeding the police, the fire, the EMS, the commissioners, the council, whoever from this city will come. We're going to feed them. We do this every year to honor them, to let them know we love them, we appreciate them, that they are much needed.
Amen.
Amen. And they have our support and we're behind them. So if you would like to help with that, Pastor has a request. He has decided this year, that he's going to make the meal for them, but we need desserts. And he needs two more ovens to make some potatoes.
Yep.
And so you go ahead.
Okay, so here's the deal. We're going to feed the police from 5 till 7 on Tuesday. And so what's going to happen is many of us will get there between 4 and 4:30 so that we can get stuff set up and all this kind of stuff. Now, what I need is some houses close to here that would lend me an oven and take a load of twice-baked mashed potatoes and just kind of on the potatoes, I like them to be broiled a little bit, baked for about 15 minutes, then broiled for about 5 minutes or so that they get a nice little brown on top. So
see,
I'll walk
Rita's
you through
the process.
Rita's the
only one laughing with me. Do you understand how picky he is?
I'll walk you through the process. So if you feel like you can get in the sous chef kitchen of Phil Walker, please, not even today because we'll be so busy, but... later on, just let me know, and I'll connect with you and talk you through some sous chef. And amen? Praise
Listen,
the name of the Lord.
You know, a lot of you have helped cook in the past. It's not because we're disappointed in anything that you've done. Phil just happens to have this day off, and in years past, he's never been able to do any of the cooking. And you know his passion beyond Jesus.
So all of you who have cooked, you have done a tremendously wonderful job. This is just something that, as a pastor, I've chosen to take a little more input in the Phil Walker Bistro, and that would probably be the only time. So the year after this, you can go back to cooking. Amen? So see me.
Did you just say the Phil Walker Bistro?
Yes. Gourmet is what I like to call it. The Phil Walker Gourmet Bistro. Hallelujah. Amen.
He's an amazing cook. I can't say nothing. He is an amazing cook. I can't say a word.
I should have a show. Faith in the Holy Ghost will help you cook. Praise God. Amen. My recipes are from the Holy
It's going to be the same place.
Yeah.
Same place we always have it. Out there at the
Midwest Ohio building.
Yeah.
So, hey, I should see if they... I got to go look. They might have a stove. Oh, well, praise God. That's going to be even easier.
So
what?
Then...
Well, never mind. All I need is help from sous chefs around 4 o'clock to meet me there because we can rotate in and out what I need. So that'll be great. Great. They got two stoves. That'll cover everything I need. Don't Except make me pray all up in the
Holy
Ghost.
Holly will still take your third one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Show up because we'll do it all right there. Because I'm going to have 4 or 5 pans and we can rotate them in and out and all that.
If you would
Beautiful.
Like. If you would like to make a dessert, let us know.
Yes. Now, desserts are
we'll
on y'all.
We'll pick it up if we need to, or we just want you to be able to have a part in it, too, because normally they do it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you need servers.
Yeah, I do need people to come pray and to serve and to help. We need all the help we can get. Oh, okay. So then I still need a second. All right. I think I'm just going to go over there Monday and see what they got. Then I'll know even for sure. But I like it. It's all going to be done. It's done easy. It's easy, smooth, quick. Good stuff.
Yeah, I think that's all I got.
Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
Okay. Well, all I got is the time to release the children. Hallelujah. Now I know why they're having goodies down there. Hallelujah. That's the only thing I get frustrated with. Is those little children get to go down there, and they get all kinds of blessings.
That's not frustrating. That's awesome.
It's awesome for them, but I'm hungry. And I'm missing out because I stay up here with you guys. Amen. I'll be fed by the washing of the water of the word. Amen. Straighten me out, brother. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, are you guys ready? Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. We have a great message for our offering today, but it's not going to be given to me today. It's going to be given to someone who knows how to be a tither for a long time and has a supernatural. You know, we even had a prophecy that said strange things are going to happen here in Kent. And so amongst those strange things are awesome miracles. So Miss Stacy, come up here, please, and give us the resounding crescendo to the story. Okay. Okay. Stacy and Brother David. Amen. Go ahead.
I clean houses. A lady I clean houses for had a dream about me because my husband's always wanted to live out in the country. And I wasn't using my faith in her dream. And me and my husband looked at houses. We looked at buying houses. We just couldn't feel peace about nothing. And we just woke up one day and we said, we're just done. We're not going to look no more. We're not feeling a peace about nothing. Then my daughter texted me like 20 minutes later and found this house that we absolutely love. But it was just so far out there. Like, it was just so far reach for us. I was like, God, like, how are you ever going to do this? And he literally, in one day, we bought a house at 1 o'clock and we sold our house at 4 o'clock. I just give God all the glory, all the praise. And I just want to tell people, like, this church is, like, so amazing. Like, about intercessory prayer, I never thought I could come and be a part of this. Like, it was just so far out. I thought, God, I cannot do this. But it literally is like my family. Like, they love you, they pray with you, they care about you. Don't ever feel like you cannot do it, because I was one of the people that felt like, I can't do this. And I literally cannot wait to get here.
Amen.
It's amazing. Like, we are making a difference.
Okay.
Stacy forgot to say that Pastor Phil told us we had 10 days. It was exactly the 10th day when we found out about the house.
Ah, ropa! Woo, hallelujah. Amen.
Wednesday's at 5 o'clock. I'm telling you, you guys don't want to miss it. It is amazing. These people, and I'm not trying to be mean, but like, I come in here, I say hi to people, and then I leave. Like, I have built a relationship with these people that I never would have built if I wouldn't have come on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't have. Like, these people are like my sisters. Like, I don't know. It's just amazing what we do in here. And like, we are putting devils to flight here.
Come on. Check out the quarterback. Ooh, bam. Amen. Hey, you know, it's so amazing because Brother Dave mentioned that I told them, hey, you guys just got 10 days, just 10 days. And it's really amazing because I'm going to teach on that 10 because, you know, I was thinking about both of them, 5 plus 5, that's two portions of God's grace, 10 being the number of wholeness and 10 days. And it was amazing that I said, come on, just rest for 10 days. Don't sell your house early. Don't need your, don't be afraid. I believe God's going to do something supernatural. Now, can I tell you something? Did I imagine that they would close and sell on the same day? No, that's all God. I had no idea, but I did know 10 days out something was happening, but I can't know those details of God, but that is powerful. And so God is a good God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We said we were going to have strange things happen. So just in the last couple months, we had someone who thought they owed $31,000 of debt because they got a letter in the mail, went to the office to face it face to face. They said, we don't know how you got that letter because your debt's completely gone. Then we had another young lady that's part of this church that went down to witness to her family, really wanted to give them a good godly example. And while she was there, they took like her 7 to 10 year old van and exchanged it for a Cadillac. So she's driving a Cadillac. And now we have, oh, remember, we also have someone here who found out in their 31st week that they were pregnant. So they only had an 8-week pregnancy and delivered a beautiful, healthy baby. Amen. And then the other strange thing that I was thinking about is, hallelujah. What was the other strange thing I was thinking about that happened? I told you about the Cadillac. I told you about the Cadillac. I told you about the debt being canceled. We now have, oh, I was just going to mention, now we have a family that sold a house, closed on a house, all of the same day. That's miraculous. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Okay, now, we're going to get into the word today, and I am going to be very straightforward with you. Oh, did we do the offering? Oh, Stacy or Dave, get back up here and pray over the offering. You guys gave the offering message. Tithing and being faithful caused all that to happen. So let Brother Dave can pray.
Father, we just thank you for this time to be able to give tithes. And just bless everybody in 100-fold times, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen.
See you when I don't feel your love.
name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to step right into the word today, but I'm going to be a little more teachy than I am preachy today. So I really, really want to just address a few things with us. Now, remember, I have been preaching on a covenant kind of relationship kind of journey over the last couple weeks, and I'm talking about honor is due, okay? And we're going to learn that honor is due to our God in heaven, amen? And I'm going to tell you something that we as a church need to raise the bar of our awareness of what we need to give to God. And I really want to just give you some background here because we have been teaching over the last few weeks how even the body of Christ needs to repent of doing anything wicked and wrong and needs to repent of ways that are outside the kingdom of God. And we need to give honor to where honor is due. And so we're going to just brush over some of those things. And in this, we're talking about the five priorities. So I want to teach you that as a Christian, these are not optional. These are not optional. To be a Christian and to honor God the way he wants us to honor him, these are things that are not optional. So I'm going to tell you the five priorities of your life. One is God, your personal relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Your personal relationship with God is number one. Out of that relationship, you're going to learn that your second most priority relationship, your first neighbor, so to speak, should be your spouse. So if you're a woman, that's your husband. If you're a man, that's your wife. We also learn that the marriage covenant is sovereign. We'll talk a little bit about that later, but there is a marriage covenant that is between a husband and a wife, period. I also will talk a little bit about the fact that your first priority is God. Your second priority is obviously your spouse and your children, your family and all that. The third priority is your church family. Amen? I don't want you to know something that biologically you're going to have relationships that are in your life. A husband and wife are going to have children. You're going to have grandchildren. You might have brothers and sisters. Those biological relationships are in your life, and you ought to honor them and work within them. But then you need to understand that you are going to have a church family relationship. And I promise you that some of the people that are in the church with you, they are not meant to just be people that you say hi to on Sunday. Listen, they're not just meant to be people that you say hi to on Sunday or hi to on Thursday. There literally are some divine relationships for your life within your church family that you need to discover. I want to tell you today that Miss Regina and myself, we have lifelong friends that we go on vacation with. Every year we take a vacation with a couple that is a part of our family. Now, biologically, they're not our family, but supernaturally, by the Spirit of God, they are our family by the Spirit. Listen to me, folks. I gave you guys an opportunity, some of you, to pick out some friends that are outside of your biological bloodline. And so I'm going to be checking in with you because we told some people by October, some people by November. So I'm going to be checking in with you because we promised to use our faith to reach towards someone in our church that's different than just our biological relationships. Amen? Because if God's going to make you a part of a body of Christ, he doesn't just want you to be a bump on a log. He doesn't just want you to be a body filling a pew or chair. He puts you in the church as a living organism because if you would use your gifts and your ways, you could actually impact in a very good way. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do, and here's what I want you to understand, that I'm going to go over a portion of what we've been studying, and then I'm going to get to the meat of what our subject is today, which is priority number two, okay? And honor being due, priority number two, honoring God through your spouse and your family and your children relationships, okay? So first we're going to look at just what is honor and what is it about, and we're just going to go to Romans. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Romans chapter 13, And I want to begin to read to you right here. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now I want to talk about this just for a minute, because this Bible verse is actually telling us that God ordains the authorities and the powers that are set up. So whether we like it or not, if we have a president, we've got to understand that God ordained how we are organized as America. And it does not matter if you like the president or not. It's your responsibility, we'll learn later, to pray for those who are in authority. You know, sometimes as Christians, we get in the mindset of being just like the world. And I tell you right now that we cannot act like the world on issues related to what I'm preaching to you about. I want you to also know this, that it says we must resist the ordinance of God in order to be disrespectful and to be rebellious in this situation. If you don't want to live God's way, you are resisting the very ordinance of God. So I've heard lots of people say, well, I believe part of the Bible, but not all. Or I love God, but I'm not going to church. I got to put you on notice. Liar! Because the Lord says that the way you know him or the way you love him is you will keep his commandments. I want you to know something. I did not come up with the idea of standing up before a group of people and yelling through preaching at you. God came up with that. I did not go up to heaven and release gifts like pastors, preachers, apostles, and teachers. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. And I did not tell you to gather together on the Sabbath and honor it. The Lord Jesus Christ told us to do that. So I want you to know something. You cannot tell me that you love God and that you want to be all up in your relationship with God and not be a part of a local church, not be using your gifts and talents within the church, and not studying to show yourself approved. If you are not endeavoring to know God through the word, then I tell you what. Where'd our scripture go? Okay. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. So I want you to know, whoever resists the power of the word of God, whoever resists this word is actually in resistance to God. So don't tell me you love God if you want to take away the first five books of the Bible. Don't tell me you love God if you think, God, the Bible's man-made and I believe some of it, but not all of it. Any of those kinds of demonic words lets me know that you don't have a heart to search after God. You have a heart to manipulate the word to what you want it so you can get away with keeping wrong relationships with stuff in your life. Some of us keep false gods in our life, our whole life, because we cannot submit to the God. This is why you have Christians that can be in church, but they're still drunk. You have Christians that can come to church, but they're still doped up. You have Christians who can come to church, but they're still fornicating. You have Christians coming to church, but they're still in the act of adultery. Why? Because they are making decisions to submit the word of God to their thinking. Listen, if you were all that in a bag of chips, God would have had you help him write the word. But if you didn't live in the centuries of where the Bible was written and touched by men that were so obedient to God they could hear him clearly, then hallelujah, you're not the writer of the word of God. So get your attitude out of the Bible. Well, you don't know how they treated me. I love you, but right now, not caring much about how they treated me. I care about this. The Lord says that I and you are going to have to stand before him and give an account. That's what the Bible says. Okay, guys. I need some focus. Reverencing God through a service is very important. Now, letting that little baby run around here is important too. He's fine, but some of you need to love him and then get back in attention. Amen? Now listen to me. I want you to hear something and hear me well. Hear me well. Time for us to raise the bar of our reverence for God. Amen? I want you to know something, that the church, even the church that is sold out for God, we have come way too casual with our relationship with the Lord. It's Christians sometimes will go weeks without reading the Bible. I wonder how you even go days without reading. Now, I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying this to help you get your reverence up. I'm saying this to help you raise the bar of relationship. Listen, Jesus was so serious about his relationship with God, and he was the Son of God, that you find him getting away early to seek God. You find him being up late preaching the gospel and still getting away to seek God. And if the Lord needed to seek God while he was on earth in his perfect form, then I'm telling you, we need to seek God. Do you believe that? Amen. Now listen, when we look at honor as due, I want you to understand something. That just based upon this scripture, anytime we disregard God's direction, we are resisting him and we actually have become an enemy of God. Now, we might not do it purposely. Maybe you were part of a church where you got hurt. Maybe you were disappointed in people. But listen, none of that is your right to turn yourself away from God. Maybe another person offended you, hurt you, approached you in a wrong way. Listen to me, I understand, but none of that gives you a right to turn away from God. You cannot be a fear-based, mean-based, bitter-based person. You cannot be full of pride. You cannot demand your own way with God. You don't have a right to do any of that. What you do have a right to is to submit to him and love him. I tell you what, if you can go to work every day and get up at an uncomfortable time where they tell you you're going to be at work, they tell you what your hours are going to work, they tell you what you're going to get paid, and they tell you when you're going to take a break, and they tell you when you can take vacation, if you're going to submit yourself to a common natural workplace to that degree, how much are you going to submit yourself to God? I got to tell you something. I love each and every one of you, but I tell you what, sometimes your boss gets way more reverence in your life than God does. And heaven forbid you'd ever push back and say, boss, hey, I'm a Christian. I'll work some hours, whatever you want, but is there a way that I can work around Sundays and Thursday nights? I tell you what, I wish some of you would just go to your boss and ask him and challenge a little bit, because you might be amazed that he'll say, hey, now I know why you're such a good worker. Yeah, I'm definitely going to let you go to church on Sunday. I worked for a factory for years where I would back up second shift or third shift just so I could go to church on Sunday. Wasn't that difficult? I don't know. I got off at 4 o'clock in the morning, got home, got ready with Regina, and we got to church by 10 o'clock, and I felt just fine. But I'm not telling you to do what I do. I'm telling you to raise the bar of relationship that you have with God within yourselves, because honor is due our God. I tell you what, there's so many Christians that are giving a half-hearted sacrifice to God, and then they're going to face his fiery fury. They're going to face him at the lake of fire, and they're going to act like he should be the one with the problem. No, listen, you chose to be a hypocrite. Now, I love you, but the Bible says that you're either cold or hot, because if you're lukewarm, he's definitely going to spew you out of your mouth. Well, what's he going to do with the people that are cold? They're going to hell, but at least they know they're going to hell. What God hates worse than anything is for you to be in and out of church, you to be here one day, gone the next, in and out, half-hearted with your relationship, and think that you're going anywhere but hell. Well, God was graceful for me. I know. He healed you. He blessed you. He's going to keep you alive as long as he can, pulling on you, tugging on you to get you to submit to church, to submit to him, to submit to his ways. He's going to keep prodding you all the days of your life. But just because he excused or helped you or got you out of a tough situation is not God's approval on you living outside of the guidelines that he's laid down for us. Get yourself healed, get yourself built up, but we have got to be faithful, because the Bible said it's required among stewards to be found faithful. What is God going to find you faithful at? Is he going to find you faithful at making excuses why not to be more committed? Is he going to find you faithful having church your own way because you don't want to be a part of the local organized church? Is he going to find you faithful to have received Jesus Christ and actually change from glory to glory into what God wants you to be? Listen to me. There's a requirement of God that we should change from glory to glory. That should be continuing in our life. I tell you what, we should be stronger today than we were 10 years ago. In fact, we should be stronger today than we were 6 months ago. Because we change from glory to glory and we grow with God into what he wants us to be. Amen? Hallelujah. You guys are trying to make me shout already and I'm just barely getting started. So what does it mean to render unto God? Well, I better finish reading the rest of this verse. It says, verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Wow, so if we would just do that which is good in the sight of God through the authorities that are over our life, we would have praise from him. Sounds familiar. Jesus loved God, never did anything wrong, and as a result, he had a voice that says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I want to ask you, don't raise your hands, but do you believe that if God looked at everything you're endeavoring to do right now, would he say, hey, this is my beloved son, Philip, in whom I'm well pleased? Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. You know, the Bible says here that we should just be the way we're supposed to be to have a good conscience and clearly know that we're pleasing God. Because it says in verse 4, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I want you to see something that in there it says render. Oh, no, I got to go to verse 7. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay thou tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thinking, on this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So the Lord is laying out in the Bible that there is an arena of where honor is due. And like I said, we should give honor to our bosses and to our work day. We should give honor to the grocery store and to the people there. We should give honor when we go in and out of Walmart. We should give honor to the laws of the land. And when the police are around, we should reverence the police. But you know what? We should also give honor to the president and to all those who are in authority over us. But you know what? You better give honor to God. You better honor all your relationships through God. God should be the governor over your marriage. God should be the governor over your children. And certainly God should be the governor over your own heart. Remember, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall still remain. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but guess what doesn't change? God's word. What God's word says from years ago is what God's word says today, and it's what God's word is going to say in the future. So we do not want to put our hope in things of this world. We want to put our hope in God himself. And I want you to understand something, that as we read this, we read the term render. So I want you to know that to render means, first of all, that you will submit and give fully as with joy. Render is like when you have to pay for your apartment or pay your mortgage or pay your rent. What you're really doing is you're rendering to that person you owe what is due them according to your contract. Amen? Now I want you to understand something. That God expects you to render what's due him according to the relationship of faith and being a child of the living God. Amen? So I want you to know something that the Bible says here, that a part of rendering is that we're going to respect all the requirements associated to be a part of a relationship with God. Number two, we're going to respect what God has done and what God gives for us to do, and how God died for us even when we didn't know him, and just all the things that God has done for us. Third thing we're going to do is we're going to reverence the great power and the great sovereignty of God. We're going to take this Bible, and I preached on this last week and the week before, that is not a man-made Bible. Stop trying to use your humanity and your mentality to try to come up with excuses to throw parts of the word out. The Bible says don't do that. If you take away from or add to my word, boy, it's going to reap damnation on yourself. It is God's way. The Bible is right. Man's a liar and wrong no matter how you look at it. Ooh, I love you. Hallelujah. Boy, do I love you guys. Don't be afraid. Christians, don't be afraid. Stop. Stop it right now. The Lord doesn't sleep nor slumber. His eyes go to and fro. Look what happened to David and Stacy. I tell you what, if you talk to him, there is a little bit of fear here and there. I'm sure Stacy was worked up a little bit here and there. But when we got to those 10 days, I said, I know God's going to do something. Just rest in him. And I tell you what, God always comes through. Why was I able to be so bold with them? Not because I think I'm all that in a bag of chips, even though I am in God's eyes. Not that I'm all this or that. No, it was none of that. It was that over the years, I have seen God faithful, 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 not just to me, not just to you, not just the people I love, but I can run into people all over the world, and I have found that God is faithful, 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 faithful. God is answering prayers, answering prayers, answering prayers. And I tell you what, the more that would go up to God, the more he would do. The Lord is not sitting there saying, you're keeping me too busy, I can't keep up. He's sitting there saying, you guys are only using 10% of my ability. All of humanity, billions of people on the earth, and we can't use 50% of God's ability. You know why? Because we live half our life in fear. Even as strong Christians, we're still tiptoeing along wondering when the roads are going to crash and when everything's going to go upside down. Shame on us. Now, I love you, but it's time for us to raise the bar. Time for us to raise the bar. We spend too much time acting like the world. I want you to know something. You want to know how you can give God some honor this week? Shut yourself off from social media. Get out of the Facebook hate book routine. And I call it hate book because I see Christians post nastier stuff on Facebook than they'd ever say in their life and to you in person. And here's what else I want you to know. Zuckerberg and those guys that came up with that stuff, they knew that they would trigger opiates in your brain waves like they do with drugs and alcohol. They knew that. They did it on purpose. Your likes and your need. If I post something, I got to have 72 likes. Half of you are just posting regurgitated mess that someone else posted anyway. And some of you aren't even disregarding what you're posting. And I've even seen some Christians post something that was attached to trash, cussing, and fussing just because they thought it made a good point. Let me tell you something. All that is to get you down to a lurk room, mind filled with other trash mentality than mine emboldened with the faith in the scriptures of the Word of God. I tell you what, you can find out your iPad, your iPhone, or your people you give your phone to, they can help you see how many social media hours you use in a day compared to how many God hours you give. I tell you what, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, I can guarantee you that not in this church, not none of you guys, but I can guarantee you in most churches across America, there are people that have spent more time in Facebook and messaging and doing transparent stuff like just getting a good message. Someone sends them the scripture and they're forwarding that scripture like they really did something that day. And I tell you what, most Christians spend majority of more time on Facebook, Hatebook, Twitter, and Witter and Watchataki and texting and messaging than they ever spend in the Word of God. And I'm not against your Facebook. I'm just against Facebook outweighing your God vessel time, because the Bible says study to show yourself approved. And he doesn't tell you to just sit down and get it easy peasy off the internet. He tells you to spend time with him so that you can discover the mysteries in your own heart. Can I speak to you? Don't give me any hands. But how many spent more time messaging or just scrolling through Facebook this week than you've ever spent seeking God? Oh, let me really get in your business. How many of you are on Facebook, and when your child or your spouse tries to talk to you, shut up, leave me alone. Can't you, hey, I'm doing something right now. I'm busy. What are you busy doing? Facebooking, hate booking. And as a result, you're aggravated with your spouse, you're aggravated with your children, and you're lashing out with them in ways that you never would if hate book didn't exist. Give the name of the Lord of some praise. Don't comment on what I said. Let's just say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, Jesus. Amen. We love you, Lord. Now, whoo, boy, I feel us getting somewhere. I'm telling you, we are making progress. God is pleased with you. So today, we're going to tap into the idea of our top priorities that God has given us. And first of all, I want to go way back to the garden to do this. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 through 20. Genesis 2, 18. Hallelujah. 18 through about 25, 26 there. That Genesis is a big book, isn't it? Genesis chapter 2. We're talking about the second most sovereign covenant relationship in the Word, and that is us divinely being raised up by God first through Adam, and then through the God-given marriage covenant between male and female. And I just want to read a couple things, and I want to highlight a few things. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And then I'm going to skip over here to verse 24, and it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm just going over this as a review, but also as an input today. I want you to realize something. That God created all of the heavens and the earth. Amen. He created all the things that we see. But God also put Adam in the garden first, and he started cultivating and making Adam a husbandman before a wife was even in the picture. Amen. Now, I wanted you to keep a focus on this, because before it was safe for a woman to come on the scene, God had to take and spend time with a man. And he had to teach that man how to name and how to claim and how to work and how to do and how to do things. And he said, "Adam, I need you to name these animals. Adam, I need you to name. I need you to do this. I need you to do this." Why? Because he was putting a structure in order that's supposed to govern our lives even today. But I will tell you what happened. The devil came along and shut up the mouth of men. Now, why is it that in the garden, it took man speaking life, speaking life, speaking life for a period of time before it was even safe for God to give him a spouse? But in today's household in the Christian church, we can't get men to speak anything other than "make me dinner, and you're doing this wrong." Then you want to know why children are broken. You want to know why spouses are broken. You want to know why houses are a wreck. Because as a man, you're sitting there pushing the weaker vessel to cook for you, clean for you, making her a work slave to you. But you don't profess anything over her name. You don't celebrate her. You don't treat her like a queen. And you don't do anything positive for her whatsoever at all. Telling me you're a man. I love you, but you got to go to man school. I tell you what, when your wife is on a trip, it should be the words you spoke along with God that encourages her. I want you to know that when your spouse is not around you, it ought to be something that you've done or you've said that spurred her and sparked her. And let me tell you something. God saw what man needed, because I hate to say it, Brother Dave, but did you see where God said, "What I've created so far is good"? Yeah, in the Bible he says, now, God created and he said it was good. But he also said at the same time, "But Adam, not good for you to be alone. I need to make you a spouse." In other words, okay, the little ones around are young enough that they... So in other words, God looked around and he saw Adam ran around looking for a spouse, and he saw zebras and said, "That won't do." Saw big elephants and said, "Ooh, that won't do." Saw some monkeys and chimpanzees and gorillas and said, "Oh, that won't do." But that might have been Adam's perspective, but God's perspective was he saw Adam cultivating, and he said, there's some characteristics that Adam lacks. There's some emotions. There's some things that Adam lacks. Boy, He ain't never going to be happy just doing this garden by himself. He needs a helpmeet, which God knew all along. It wasn't a surprise. He just let Adam live long enough for Adam to recognize that he couldn't handle it all by himself. And then he said, okay, Adam, I'm going to put you to sleep, and I'm going to give you a woman. And guess what? Woo! Adam came out, and he saw what the Lord had made. And I'm telling you that when he first proclaimed over here that thou art woman, woo, it was as though Adam was making a poem. Oh, Lord, is she fearfully and wonderfully made? Oh, Lord, this is exactly what I needed. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo, woman is here. And Adam was so excited. And God said that under that covenant alone did he ordain the right for humanity to bring forth life. Hello. That disqualifies every other relationship to be a marriage. I was even in Hawaii. They were calling same couple marriages or same couple relationships domestic partnerships. No, what I call it is compromise of the word of God. Because unless you can procreate, you need to eliminate. If it can't procreate, you need to eliminate. I said, if you don't procreate, you need to eliminate those relationships and think that they should ever be ordained, because they're not. God's already ordained what was right. He said a man and a woman, if he had ever expected anything else, he would have prophesied it and put it in his book. Remember, this word is sovereign. It's absolute. The Bible says that heaven and earth shall fade away, but this word will remain the same. So I want to tell you something. All you progressives out there, all you people who think that the word is hate speech, which we're proving on Thursday nights, it's not. But all of you out there who think that something's wrong with the Bible, I'll tell you what's wrong with the Bible, your perspective. I'll also tell you what's wrong, that you think our Father in heaven's going to change. But I'm putting you on notice right now that he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm going to tell you something. He's never going to ordain same-sex marriages. It's never going to produce life. It's never going to be good. And even if the world lets you adopt, it ain't right. Woo! Praise God. Let me get off that soapbox now. Not a soapbox, it's just the truth of the word of God. I'm just qualifying what it takes for you to be in line with the word of God. Now, I want to go quickly. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to go to Matthew chapter 19. Yeah, let me go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Are you with me? Okay, Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he saith unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, did you hear what he said? If you will enter into life, or if you're going to live life the way I'm teaching you, then the first and the major thing you have to do is keep my commandment. See, here's what most people want. They want the life of God, but they want to do it the world's way. And I got to tell you something. You can't have the blessing of God on your life and do it your own way. Where you don't do it God's way, you're going to hinder yourself. You're going to leave doors open for destructions, and you're going to fall flat on your face. Amen? If you're going to live a godly life and you're going to declare yourself a Christian, then you are going to live by God's commandments. You're going to live by God's way, and you're not going to live by any other way. Amen? His word is sovereign, going to move your rule your heart. It says right here, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which commandment should I keep? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And immediately, see, the Lord was already perceiving what his problem was. The young man didn't realize it, but the Lord already realized it. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I? Woo, this guy's pretty bold and full of pride right now because he thinks he's all that. And the Lord says to him right here, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In other words, the disciples were wealthy men. They were fishers, fishermen. They owned boats. They had plenty. That's why they amazed at his saying. Because the Lord was teaching them, guys, listen to me. It's not about what you have. It's about who has you. It's not about what you have. It's just who has you. Does your money and wealth rule? Or does God still rule? If you're so afraid to lose what you have today, Nate, you probably better get on your knees before the Lord and ask him to help you handle stuff in a more humble way where you're not in fear of losing what you have. Because if you got it, God's with you, amen? Now, I also want you to understand this. Hear me and hear me well. The most important thing about this whole scripture is that this young man had many things in his life right, but the one or two areas that was wrong, he was not willing to submit them to God. This is how most Christians are. You have a good portion of your life right, but there are some areas that need cleaned up and dressed up, but you're afraid to give them to God. And I'm telling you that honor is due. Get off your pride. Get off your high horse. Submit yourself to God and let him have that area so that you can be whole. Amen? Now, I want you to understand this. Wholeness is critical for us being able to love our children and love our spouses the way we are supposed to. And I tell you what, I want to remind you that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says that marriage is honorable among all. Remember that? And I want you to know that God expects you, right now, God expects you to be able to honor everything in his word, especially around relationships and family, because I want you to see this. This rich young ruler, when he came to the Lord, he was guilty of having areas in his life that he never submitted to God. You got that? And I also want you to turn your Bibles right now to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read, let me go just a little further in this. Okay, stay right there for a minute. I'm going to go back to the top of Matthew chapter 19, and I want to just read something in verse 7. They say with him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And Jesus said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, also committeth adultery. His disciples say unto him, If the case of the man be so with his wife, is it not good to marry? And I want you to understand something, that we could go through that whole scenario today, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to preach on that later in a total different message. But for right now, I want you to know something, that the divorce decree is not supposed to be administered in the church the way the world does. I also want you to know, though, that just because you went through divorce, it does not disqualify you from being a married person. And it also doesn't disqualify you from stepping right back into some of the things God has for you. But here's what people do. They take the marriage covenant that's explained in the Bible for two blood-bought believers that are second, third generation that have grown up in true holiness from their youth, and they try to apply it to everybody else. Well, half of us coming into the church were married before we got saved. Half of us didn't even go to church. So we've got to honor those covenants different, because there's lots of people, even in this church building, that may be remarried, and your remarriage is not an abomination to God. It's not a divorce thing with God. You were able to get married because you didn't meet all the criteria of that thing. Okay? So I just want to share that with you, and we'll teach on that a little more later. But what I really want to get to is this right here. Put up Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hello, stay right there for a minute. First of all, we don't see it say you fathers and you mothers, do we? See, I want you to know something, that one of the attacks that's on the local church, one of the attacks that's on the body of Christ, one of the attacks that's on humanity from the foundation till now, is that the devil's most interesting perspective is just to shut the voice of a man up. Just shut a man up. If the women go to church, God, the devil doesn't mind it at all. There's so many churches out there that are 60, 70% women, it'll make you turn over because you don't understand what that means. It means that those women are having to carry the weight of a man and a woman that should be together doing something. I tell you what, I remember when my dad used to take us to church and throw us out of the car, and we'd go to church and he'd go home and drink or go to his friend's house and drink. I'm telling you that kind of stuff tears families up. I tell you what, it says that men ought to speak a lot to their children and their spouse, but they ought to be careful how they speak, because right here you can provoke your children to wrath by just speaking too harsh and being too mean and being too dogmatic about what you do. There should be a covering of mercy and grace in everything you should do. But I will tell you something, more than me even preaching the word, a spouse needs to have hands laid on by a husband. A spouse ought to know what her husband says about her. A spouse ought to have a husband that will pray for her, sometimes directly to her, but many times behind her back. I tell you what, there's times where I just take time and I set apart, and all I will pray for in that next half hour or that hour is only for Regina. There's times where I'll set myself on a fast and she'll say, honey, what are you believing for? I'll say, just lots of things, baby, not just one in particular. Why do I tell her that? I don't want to sit there and say, honey, I'm fasting the next 3 days just for you. Now, am I fasting because she's all broken and not a good woman? No, I'm fasting because if she's done this much at her young age, what in the world is out in her future if I can ask God to bring her into not what I want her to be, but her maximum God-ordained vision? See, I'm beyond myself. I don't want her to just be a good husband. I don't want her to just be a good mother. To be a good wife. I don't want her to be a good wife. I don't want to just be a good husband to her. I don't want my son just to be a good son that has a great mom. No, no, no. I'm believing for their God-given destiny. I'm believing for her to become a woman that is so much like God, it just makes me go, aw. I tell you what. We need to make sure that it's the father's responsibility. The father's responsibility. Now, you husbands or you wives out there that don't have a husband, remember, he's a husband to the husbandless and he's a father to the fatherless. Don't scare. Don't worry. God will give you what it takes to raise your children up. He will intercede. He will intervene. But I'm telling you, if you are a married man right now with a spouse, why has your voice been so quiet? Why aren't you touching your spouse with vision and dreams? Why aren't you writing her letters declaring who she is? Why has your voice been so quiet? And why do you just concentrate on her weaknesses? Why has your voice over your children been so quiet? Why don't they know who God believes, what their father believes about them? Why don't they know? I'm just going to ask you a couple quick questions, then we're done. Because I'm not going to stop preaching this message. Listen to me. Pay attention. Pay close attention. How many of you, and don't raise your hands, don't say nothing. How many of you can honestly tell me that within the last 5 years, you've made your husband a meal, you've got rid of the kids, and you've sat him down and said, honey, I just want a vision build with you. What's in your heart for the next 2 to 5 years? What are you believing God for? I want to ask you men the same thing. Which one of you men have sat your wife down after you made a big meal, or maybe you took her away to a rescue weekend somewhere, and who in here bought her flowers and sat at the table and said, honey, this is time where I just want to hear what's in your heart. What's in your visions? What are you believing God for? What can I fast and pray for you about? I tell you what, I don't need you to raise your hand. I already know the answer. So I got to ask you something. Are you really doing all you can to build your spouse? Are you really doing all you can to seek the kingdom? Honor is due, people. Honor is due. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just declare your glory, Father. Lord, I just declare, God, your blessing upon your people. Father, I just declare an open heaven over their lives, Father. Lord, because we need your presence, God, more than ever before, Father. And I just declare your voice, your power, your authority in their lives, Father. I just declare blessing upon this moment. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, right now, if there's anybody in here who's not